Grace, mercy, and peace be yours through God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As I mentioned at the beginning of worship this morning, this is LWML Sunday. The theme chosen nationally for this particular year is Come and See. We hear it on the lips of Philip as he comes and tells the news to Nathanael. We found him, of whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Come and see. Have you ever been surprised? Surprises can be wonderful, beautiful things. We see it happen after a romantic stroll in a park. A young man goes down to one knee in front of his beloved, brings out that ring, produces it, says, Will you marry me? What a wonderful surprise. I've had this particular surprise 3 times in my life where I am told by my wife, We're going to have a baby. What a wonderful surprise. A wonderful surprise that really changes our lives. And yet we know that surprises aren't always wonderful. In fact, sometimes they can be quite jarring. Rain pours down, washes out your outdoor wedding day. You thought you did as well as you possibly could have done on a job interview, and yet in the end you end up getting that letter of rejection. Or even worse, we get that phone call at 4 o'clock in the morning, and you know if you get a phone call at 4 o'clock in the morning, it's never good, right? And we hear the news that perhaps a loved one has passed away unexpectedly. Those sorts of surprises can be very jarring. They can crush us. All surprises, by definition, are unexpected. We understand that. But not all surprises are received in the same way. Sometimes surprises can be of a different nature, and sometimes surprises are received differently just because we've got different audiences. We see this all the time, for example, when people review movies or restaurants. You'll have one person who says, This was the best place I've ever eaten at. Wonderful service, wonderful food. And the next person comes and says, I hated it. I didn't like it at all. It was a horrible experience for me. And we get it with movies and other forms of entertainment as well. What one person receives as a true blessing, another person receives as a curse. It's the same surprise. It's the same thing, seemingly. And yet there are different responses. This dynamic is exactly what we encounter as we see Philip and Nathanael react to the news of Jesus. Jesus is God's answer to the problem of our darkness and our sin. God, our loving God, our missionary God, sends his Son into the world to be our Savior, to enter into our darkness as the light of the world. And yet this news can elicit two completely different reactions. We hear it first of all in Philip at the beginning of our text today from John chapter 1. Jesus says to Philip, Follow me. Philip's from the same city as Peter and Andrew, and after spending some time with Jesus, he comes to understand that Jesus is the one that they've been waiting for, the chosen one. Andrew, one of the other disciples from Bethsaida, had been a disciple of John the Baptist, and John had pointed him out, Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And Andrew and another one of John's disciples come and follow Jesus. Now, Philip's turn to follow. And he comes to understand that this Jesus is the one that we've been waiting for. The Savior of the world, the true Messiah, the Son of David, the one who's going to reign on his throne as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's going to deal ultimately with that problem of sin and death and Satan, which alienated us from God. And so with great excitement, he comes to his friend Nathanael, and he says, We found him! We found the one that we've been waiting for, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nathanael hears the news. He hears that town associated with Jesus' name. And he says to himself, Really? Nazareth? Are you kidding me? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? You see, Philip had seen Jesus through Holy Spirit-inspired eyes, through the eyes of faith. And yet, Nathanael is looking at Jesus based on the externals, based on the circumstances. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip has seen the light. Nathanael is still in the dark. But why does Nathanael ask that question anyway? Nazareth, can anything good come out of Nazareth? What do we know about Nazareth and that surrounding region which we call Galilee? Well, it seems that the odds are against Nazareth actually producing anything good, especially from a spiritual standpoint. Nazareth is located in Galilee, which is way up in the north in Israel. If you're expecting God to produce his Messiah, his Savior, his King, where are you looking? Generally speaking, you're looking to the south, to Jerusalem, the place where the temple is located, the city of David. We are looking to the south. That's where God should bring forth his salvation, right? Not in Nazareth, not in Galilee, which is located 90 miles away. Now, for us who drive cars, that doesn't take too long to traverse, but for them walking on foot, that's a long ways away. This region is too close to those Gentile unbelievers. The people in Galilee don't have a great reputation in terms of their scrupulousness in keeping God's law. They might fudge some of the rules from time to time. They were looked down upon by the Jews in the south, closer to that holy city, closer to the temple, closer to Jerusalem. Can anything good come out of Nazareth, out of Galilee, among these unlikely folks? Well, we know the answer. The answer is absolutely yes. The answer is actually a surprise. God surprises us by bringing forth his King, his Messiah, from of all places, Nazareth in Galilee. And this is the way that God operates. He operates in surprising ways over and over again, bringing good and bringing life in places that we would never expect. We as human beings would look in certain places to see what God is doing and how God is working. We might look to those who are the best at being holy and righteous and pure and having their act together. We might say, that's the person through whom God works the best. God would certainly bring his salvation to that person and through that person. And yet, it's Jesus, the unassuming man from Galilee, that we are called to fix our eyes upon as the wisdom of God at work in the world. We're called to fix our eyes not on ourselves, not on the normal places where we would perhaps expect God to work. We're called to fix our eyes on Jesus. We're called to fix our eyes on all of the unlikely places. For example, the most unlikely place of all, the cross. The darkest moment in the history of the world where the innocent one was tortured and killed. God says, put your eyes there. That's where I'm at work. That's where I am doing my best work to love the world and save the world and forgive the world through him. We look not where we want to look or where we would expect to look. We look to where God has revealed himself to be. To the surprised, to the perplexed, to the cautious, to the guarded like Nathanael, to those in disbelief and doubt seeking answers, Jesus comes to you and to me today and says, follow me. Do you want to see God at work? So we follow Jesus. He says, come and you will see. That's the message he delivered to Andrew when he called him into fellowship with himself. Andrew asked that question, Rabbi, where are you staying? What are you doing, Jesus? He says, come and you will see. And then we get that message delivered to Nathanael, not from Jesus' own lips, but through his servant Philip, who says to Nathanael, that incredulous one, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip says to him, come see what is possible. Come see what God has in store through his servant Jesus. Not only does God work out his salvation through an unlikely place and an unlikely source, but he also sends forth that word to come and see through unlikely lips. Jesus is from Nazareth, but he's not the only one in our story who's located in Galilee. In fact, all of the disciples Jesus is calling are Galileans. We're told that Andrew and Peter are from Bethsaida. Philip is from Bethsaida in Galilee. Nathanael's from Cana in Galilee. All of these individuals are from the north, from the place that you would not seemingly find good candidates for disciples, especially disciples of the Messiah. And yet Jesus calls these individuals to follow him, to come with him, to see what he is doing, to see his teaching, to see how he loves, to see how he's going to suffer and die and rise again so that they might be his witnesses to the ends of the earth. It's this odd and lowly region of Galilee that produces these disciples. Why? Because God wants it to be so. Because God wants to work in the most unlikely of places. So the question is, what's the Galilee of today? What kind of unexpected places is God at work in? What kind of locations, among what kind of peoples is God at work? Peoples that we would normally see with our normal natural eyes and say, I don't know if God would actually bring his word there. I don't know if God could do great work there. We hear in the news of places torn by darkness and violence, the inner cities perhaps, and some of our cities here in the United States. We think of the Middle East, the places perhaps where ISIS has control, and we ask ourselves, could anything good come out of there? Could God possibly work? Could God possibly bring his message of light and salvation even to that place and work for those people and through those people ultimately? Perhaps you think more closely to home and you have a relative or a neighbor who seems to have a hardened heart. And you say to yourself concerning that person, yeah, man, I don't know. I don't know that God could work in their lives. I don't know if God could crack that shell and bring his light and his love and his salvation. This text teaches us that God is able to work, and God chooses to work in the most unlikely of places and in the lives of the most unlikely of people. If you want proof, look in the mirror. That's what I do anyway. I look in the mirror in the morning, and I have proof that God works in unlikely places for unlikely people. You see, we talk about these disciples being from Galilee. We're no better than Galileans. We are oddballs. We are the Gentiles. You know, the Galileans were looked down upon because they lived too close to the Gentiles. Guess what? We're the Gentiles. We were the outsiders, and yet God came to us, and he called us in through his word, through the word of the gospel, and he made us the members of his family. And God builds his church using these oddball outside people. We are all seemingly, or kind of, so to speak, Galileans. We are the outsiders. We are the people who speak with a strange kind of accent. And yet God welcomes us in, makes us his members of his family, and invites us on his mission. On his mission to people who don't yet know Christ, to people who haven't fully experienced the love that he has shown in the Savior. Could God possibly work through you? Could God possibly work through you for the sake of someone that you don't even know yet? For the sake of someone perhaps who has some sort of barrier that separates themselves from you? I'm not talking about a barrier of hostility necessarily, but maybe a cultural barrier, maybe even a language barrier. We know even in the Green Bay area that there are growing populations of people who don't speak English as a natural first language. Is it possible even for those folks, for us, to be a conduit of God's love, of his kindness? Does the love of God know barriers in race and culture and language? Or is God's love for all people? We know the answer, of course. Jesus invites the outsiders. Jesus invites the oddballs. Jesus invites those who are looked down upon by the world and by others. And he says, come and know my love. Come and know my forgiveness. Come and know my salvation. Come and see. Come and see who I am and what I can do. On this LWML Sunday, we rejoice in Jesus' calling and invitation to come and see once again what he has graciously done in our lives, his great deeds of salvation on behalf of Galileans like us. Today, we also receive with great thanksgiving an awesome wonder, Jesus' surprising invitation to come and see what he can do and indeed is even doing now among those strange Galileans in our neighborhoods and in our families. We ask Jesus to open our eyes, just as he opened Nathanael's eyes, just as he opened Philip's eyes, to see what he can do. Nathanael perhaps asked Philip, hey, can anything good really come out of Nazareth in Galilee? Can anything good, can God possibly work through that city and through its inhabitants? Philip said to him, come and see. Come and see Jesus, God's greatest gift to us, who has surprisingly come out of that unlikely place. Can anything good come out of fill in the blank? That place perhaps that you look to and you say, I don't know. I don't know if God could be at work there. Through the gospel, hear the answer. Yes, good can come. God is good. He is powerful. He is at work. Come and see. Amen.